Welcome to Living a Maintenance Life. I'm the host and creator, Carlos Damian, a.k.a. Los AF Jefe. This podcast is about our Shogun warriors. It's about their stories, their perspectives, and insight into their lives. My hopes for this podcast is to have conversations with different maintenance pros from across our group in order to learn each other better. Over my career, I've served as a maintenance pro, MTI, and first sergeant. I've met amazing people from across the globe, but right here and now, I get the privilege to serve with 2,400 maintenance professionals. Here are some of our conversations. An episode I recorded about 4 or 5 months ago, right?
Yeah.
About 4 or 5 months ago, got corrupted, and I had spouses here on the podcast. But unfortunately, I don't know, I was transferring it. It just had this interference thing, and this really good episode was jacked up. It's my fault. So without further ado, let's get started with the spouses episode. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Sarah Ferris, originally from Edwardsville, Illinois. Been here at Kadena about 2 years.
How many kiddos you got?
We have 4.
And where's your husband work?
At the 67th.
What does he do?
He generates freedom.
Oh, he's a freedom generator.
He's the lead pro super.
Lead pro super.
At the Fighting Cocks.
Oh, the Fighting
Cocks. I botched it last time and just said he was a crew chief, and you kind of corrected me, so I worked on that
for you. You nailed it this time.
Got it.
Perfect landing. And kiddos are age ranges of what?
14, 16, 19, and 21.
Oh, you went a kind of full circle there. Yeah. Okay. And some of them live stateside right now, right?
Yep. 2 in the States. In college, 2 still here with us.
Man. Man, oh man. In Illinois?
Mm-hmm.
Are you, like, I know about Chicago, and that's about it.
They're closer to St. Louis.
Okay.
Just outside St. Louis, but on the Illinois side. Actually, in my hometown, they ended up, so.
Is that, like, near Fallon?
Pretty close.
Okay.
But, so it's nice they have family around, but going to college out there, doing their thing.
Cool, cool, cool. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Jill.
Hi, my name is Jill Limhoko. My husband works at 718th AMXS as a first sergeant. Not long.
For now.
For now. Actually,
next week,
yes. He's moving to MXG as the UTM superintendent, I think. I think that's the position.
Unit training manager, for those out there who don't know acronyms.
Yeah. So, and I have 2 kids. I just started. I have 7 and 10. And I am from California.
What part of the great state of California?
I'm from the Valley, San Fernando Valley.
Gross.
North Hollywood. Whatever.
So you were both here last time. And unfortunately, we had one of the spouses that was here at the table, PCS. And that was Nicole Grahowski. So shout out to Nicole if you're listening.
Shout out to Nicole.
Yeah, that was a good one. It was a fun episode. I think she was the most nervous out of everybody. So my first question is this. What was the hardest learning curve for you as you married maintenance professional?
Obviously, my husband is not a maintainer. However, he does serve with the maintainers. So I feel like he is also a maintainer, right?
He's a maintenance professional. He's with us.
He's there all the time with them. The one thing I've learned. Is that a question?
Yeah. Sorry. Well, no, what was the hardest learning curve?
Just to adjust to his schedule, because he has to adjust to the schedule because it's 24-hour operation, right? They have 3 shifts. So he has to not only cater for the day shift, but sometimes he has to actually go in late at night so he can actually cater to the swing shift and the mid shift. Adjusting to his schedule and realizing that, you know, his job doesn't stop from, it doesn't start and stop at, you know, from 7 to 4 or 7:30 to 4:30. It's 24-hour thing. And I already knew that, him being a first sergeant. But him being a first sergeant to maintainers is kind of like another step.
It could be like the Wild West.
I know. Yeah, yep, yep.
So yeah, we do. We demand a lot of attention. That's it. And especially the size and scope of both of the squadrons that your spouse will serve.
Yes. So definitely the size too, because coming from 300 plus to now 500 plus, so he has more people he needs to kind of help out and, you know, make sure that he gets to know everybody. I support him. So I tell him, like, you know, take some time to actually get to know the people, because I told him I had a chief once and a first sergeant once when I was in a service. I told him I had a chief and first sergeant that actually knew everybody by name, first name. And I thought it was so impressive. He said he's not going to be like that, but I told him at least try.
Yeah.
You know.
It's difficult.
Yeah. So I learned that, I mean, he's really good at what he does, but it's just hard, you know.
Adjustment schedules.
Yeah, adjustment. Yeah. But I mean, I learned that you just have to kind of support him. And
we'll get back to your service here in a second, too. What's been the hardest learning curve for you?
Probably the amount of time that he would be working or sleeping to recover from work. He is the crew chief, so he's always worked the crazy swing shifts, mid shifts, all of that, long shifts. And then if he's not at work, there's those nice work group chats going off.
Oh, so. What?
Yeah.
They have those?
Yes.
Are you not in those?
Yes. I would say I'm in most of them.
I did not see that coming. Just kidding.
This full-time commitment doesn't stop.
So what is your viewpoint on involvement? And again, sometimes it works for some, sometimes it doesn't work for others. How involved are you in what your husband does on a day-to-day basis?
I consider myself very involved. I'm a key spouse. I'm also, I try to help him with everything I could if he lets me. If he has to take care of like a going away or something, I kind of like volunteer and say, hey, can I help you buy something for, you know, set up all that stuff. At the same time, being a key spouse helps him a lot because he doesn't have to worry about the spouse side, you know, the families. He can focus on the 500 plus airmen that, you know, that he takes care of. So I think I think it's important to be involved because you will understand, you know, it's as a key spouse, it's kind of, it's hard enough to get all those spouses involved. So imagine if he has to do that.
Because some do,
on
some
top
don't.
Of, yeah, on top of duty with the airmen. So, and it's really important. And I think it's, for him, he's grateful for that.
I try to stay involved with such a big squadron. I think it's easy for people to feel kind of lost or invisible. So I think those spouses get together or squadron barbecues, all those things are really important to just have a sense of family, sense of other people that are doing the same things and going through the same things.
Is it hard sometimes to communicate, especially early on when, you know, when they're explaining things to you or you're talking? Because I don't know if I was the only one that had that language barrier with my wife, but I'd use a bajillion acronyms or I'm talking about something. I'm expecting you to understand how an airplane flies. Or how an airman works, you know, those kind of things.
So when I was in the service, I actually worked with the maintainers too. I was actually a maintenance professional of the year. Thank you very much. So I kind of understand when he comes home, talk about, you know, and I'm actually, I sometimes ask him because I kind of miss it, right? And I always tell him like, hey, how's your support? Like, I always ask about the supply because I was supply. So I was like, hey, how's your supply over there? Like, you know, so I would ask him about those stuff. It's kind of cool because we actually can understand each other. And when he's trying to, even like the admin stuff, we talked about EPR and all the stuff. I understand it. So we understand each other and it makes our conversations easier because when he just wants to vent, he can just keep going and going. And I'll be like, yeah, I understand what you mean, you know, so.
That's a great advantage.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very, very, very fortunate. And with my spouses too, like in my squadron, sometimes I try to teach them to understand how the military side works. Like, I kind of give them, like, pointers of, you know, if you don't understand it, ask me, because I can explain it to you. So it makes it easier for you and your husband, you know, to communicate. So it's really important to learn, you know, the language, the military language. So when the husband, especially when they're stressed, right, they just want to vent. They just want to talk. And they don't want to get frustrated because they have to explain every single thing to you. But so I think it's I'm just blessed to have that with him.
Yeah, sometimes, especially if he's just venting, even if I'm not totally clear what he's talking about, just let him go.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That sounds really hard, even though I don't really understand. Just let him get it out.
Who is the most influential maintainer that comes to mind? One of those influential people that...
I have one. I used to work in Nellis, and I had a chief that he's just straight out, like, strict, right? And he's, like, so old school, but the way he talks to people, it's just so, like, motivating. Even though you're like, man, this, like, he talks like a grandpa, like, nothing can go through him and stuff. But I thought he was caring. I guess it's just, like, a stereotype, too. Like, a maintainer, you're, like, tough, you know, you're strict because you have to, because those planes cannot, like, you can't make errors, right? Because someone's lives is on the line. So, but every time I see him and every time he talks to people, he just, like, motivates me. I'm like, you just want to do your job and you want to do it good. And then I always would, like, when the maintainers come and get parts, and then I'll be like, you know, is it, I double check their part number, their stock number, you know, like what they're requesting, because I'm like, I can't let you down because, you know, because the chief said this and this and that.
You get them yelled at by the chief?
Yeah, exactly. Because, well, if they get yelled at by the chief, they get yelled at. I get yelled at too.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But that was back in the days when yelling was acceptable.
Still it's still there.
Yeah. So I thought, yeah, he was a pretty good chief.
If you can change any one thing that you guys, from your perspective, have any one thing that you guys have seen, what do you think it will be?
If you really think about it, it's the only thing we know. For me, I mean, my first job is in the Air Force, so this is what I know. So to change it, I wouldn't know.
I mean, like, shorter hours would be great, but...
How have your kids adapted to the lifestyle that you've lived?
So, like I said, this is our 9th PCS, so we've moved a lot. My oldest, his high school that he graduated from was his 11th school. So he got really good at being the new kid. All of them are, at meeting new people, at just going out and introducing themselves and not being afraid of being new.
My kids adapted really well because we travel. We came from Italy, so we travel a lot. And then we got here and they're like, when are we going to go? Where are we going to travel? I'm like, they got so used to traveling that they ask for it. They look for it. You know, they think it's normal to just get on the plane and go. And they just spoiled.
And then COVID happened.
Yep.
Yeah, too.
How's your family back stateside or wherever they're at? How's family supported you throughout this time in the Air Force?
I'm the first generation. So they really don't know anything about the military. So they kind of just accept it. And they try to understand why we're staying here for so long. But I told them, because it's safer, first of all, and it's more fun. But at the same time, they just kind of have to accept it. And they just accepted it. But, you know, but they know what we're doing is important, too. So they're supportive and they're very proud of it, us.
Our families are very supportive, too. It's hard. Thank goodness for FaceTime.
Were you married during that first enlistment?
Yes.
You were?
No.
You were married first enlistment? So he hadn't enlisted yet or re-enlisted yet.
He re-enlisted. He did, because I met him. He was already a staff sergeant.
Okay, so you met him as staff. So the question for you then is, when that time came, what was the decision like?
Oh, for him to join or not?
No. Oh, you were there before we joined too? Oh, let's run that back.
We go way back.
Yeah,
I was like, she has a 21-year-old.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about, like, the decision to join, because that's unique.
Wait, what was your question? Maybe that one's easier.
No, I think like when he was joining, were you encouraging him to join? How did that all kind of work itself out?
It was a hard choice. He had wanted to. I was very naive. I didn't really know much about being in the military. I kind of assumed we would be stationed close to home. Had no idea where all it'd take us.
When it came to re-enlisting, how was that family decision?
Honestly, after his first enlistment, he knew he loved it. It's what he wanted to do. We'd only moved a couple times at that point, but knew that it was just what we were going to do.
That was the lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
That was it?
Yep.
Yeah, same here. 'Cause I was still in. So at that time, well, his second enlistment, I was still in. So we kind of just were in this together, right? Until I hit my 9-year mark and I'm like, oh, peace out.
So you got out at 9 years.
I got out 9 years. Yeah, 9 years and a half.
And is that a decision you guys jointly made, obviously?
Yes, yes. So before I hit the button to actually like separate, we had a talk. And I told him I cannot do it because as a supply person, we deployed a lot more than ever at that time. So I told him I cannot because I just came back from deployment. And I said, I'm not cut out for the deployment part. I can do everything else, but not the deployment part. Because when they deployed me to Afghanistan, it was just hard for me.
Yeah.
Being away from family and then at the same time, just the process of getting there and getting back. It was just a lot. So I told him, like, I can't, if you're, you know, we had to talk. I said, if you're willing to support me, you know, I want to get out. And then he stays in and then we'll figure it out after that. And we did. We started a family after that, and here we are.
When do you know when it's time? Like, Sean and I talk about it quite frequently, and this is the closest I've ever been. But what's your way forward when it comes to staying or going?
Mixed feeling for us at first, but before First Sergeant, before he got picked up for First Sergeant, he was ready to hit the button at 20. He said, 20, I'm done. And then he got picked up for First Sergeant and he loved it and everything changed. And the way I see him as a First Sergeant, I just knew, I was like, oh, we're staying longer. And I'm all for it because my kids are comfortable. We're comfortable. This, like I said, this is the life that we're used to and this is the life that we know. So I said, I'm okay if you want to stay. I want him to keep going. I said, if you can stay till 30, I'll support you because, you know, as long as he's happy, I'm happy. If he wants to retire, then that's fine with me too. We'll figure it out.
It depends on the day of the week. Some days.
Yeah. Sometimes you come off a leave.
Yeah. True.
It's time to get out.
Yeah. But he still loves what he does and I still love being here. So just playing it by ear for now.
Where would you guys go? What are you guys looking towards retirement?
Somewhere between our hometown and the Philippines, I would say. Somewhere between Edwardsville, Illinois and the Philippines.
That is literally, if you had a big globe in front of you, that's half the world.
Yeah, so again, day of the week.
Fired up.
What we're
the same way. Every day is somewhere different. What about you, Jill?
We want to stay overseas. Like, I don't know, I really don't want to go back to the States. I would only go back because of my family. Mm-hmm. But if we have a way to, I mean, we always have a way to visit them, right? But I would love to go to Europe, to retire in Europe.
Go back to Europe?
Yeah. Italy would be ideal.
You guys really balled out of control in Italy.
Oh, yes. We just loved it. We love the culture. We love the language. And
so how much Italian do you speak?
I speak enough to get by. Yes, I can go to grocery and buy you stuff, pretty much.
Young spouses coming into the Air Force, what's your piece of advice that you're giving them?
Get involved. Don't stay home. Mm-hmm. Find your spouse friends. Find your tribe. I mean, just come out and get to know the culture. Because military is its own culture, you know. We are in Japan right now. We have the Japanese culture, but we also have the military culture, which is, it could be good and bad for some people, but I think once you get to know it, how it actually works together, because we are a team, right? Everything on base works together to achieve that mission, you know, And if they could just go out and be open-minded about mm-hmm. everything, I think they'll have a better experience here.
Yeah. Do everywhere. All the scary things. Mm-hmm. Go to this boss's event, even if you don't know anybody.
Exactly.
Try the class at the gym or do a podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. Something great might come out of it, right?
You never know, right?
You'll learn something. You'll meet your new best friend for the space. Just get out there and try.
Yes, because everybody's in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in that spouse's event is in the same situation as you. They're like, they're hesitant at first at going because they're like, oh, I don't want to go because I don't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the next thing you know, the person you meet is the first, you know, it's they're going through the same thing. And you're like,
exactly.
Hey, you're new, I'm new too. Hey, let's hang out, right? So
I always love that, especially coming up through the ranks. You know, with Shauna, I kind of looked for the deer in the headlights, mm-hmm. spouses. I was like, oh, that's a new one right there.
Yeah.
Here we go. And, you know, as a shirt, you kind of hone those skills a little bit. Mm-hmm. As a senior non-commissioned officer, you definitely hone those skills a little bit. And I always challenge, I was like, hey, for supervisors, get out there, try to get your, you know, try to get them out there so they can learn their tribe. Throughout this lifestyle that you and your spouse chose to live, do you remember a time that you really had to face something, some sort of adversity and how you guys overcame it?
I think a tough moment for us was we were at a new duty station. We just got to Aviano, and he had a short notice deployment, left 2 days later. I was brand new to the base. So that was a tough one for me, just being new and not really knowing anyone or where anything was. But we just got through it. I got out there, made some friends to get me through it.
That's a difficult. That's brutal. It's brutal having to come back and like tell you two, ooh, I hate that, that bad news bear.
Yeah.
Han, I got to talk to you about something. What about you, Jill?
It was the other way around. When I had to leave for deployment, it was hard because I guess he always expected that he was the one who's leaving. But at that time, it was me. And he was worried how I was going to handle it because I'm, you know, going to Afghanistan as a girl. You know, they're not used to seeing uncovered and all that stuff. So he was worried more about me, and which made it more difficult to leave. And
the unknowing, Afghanistan was hot at that time.
Yeah. No, it was, I was actually, oh, at that time, yes. So, the way he was so worried about me made it difficult because I saw the vulnerability of, you know, of from on his side. He was so worried about me. So it made me kind of like worried too. Because, I mean, if you're worried about me, then shit, I'm worried too, right?
Don't you freak out. I'm freaking out
exactly.
too.
But I think that was like, and then because I had to go to training first and then the deployment, and then they wanted to extend me. It was just a whole lot of stress in that moment. And I think that really gave us, and we just bought a house too. So he was just still kind of getting used to like adjusting to being a homeowner and all that stuff. So, and it put a lot of stress on our relationship, just being in the military and all that stuff. But I think that was, and then, but after that, we were stronger because I came out alive, thank God. Yeah. And then came back and, you know, we get to enjoy our house finally. And we came back stronger. And
so this is a question I ask. What would you tell the younger you as you're starting this journey?
To not worry about the little things. It does get easier, especially as the kids get older and you get more used to the crazy shifts and hours. I just wouldn't have worried about all the little details.
I would have told myself to stay in school because doing it with kids was 10 times harder. But I wanted to, I should go and stay in school. So you can finish, you know, earlier in life and you can actually enjoy more things and better yourself so you can be smarter as you're older.
What is something that you're like, man, I'm really proud of this. Here's your brag moment type thing.
I'm proud to be spouse of 718 EMXS. As my husband's spouse, first sergeant of 718 EMXS, I'm very proud because I've seen pretty much everything that they do and what he does for them, you know, the little stuff that he can do for them. I'm just so proud of it. And of course, being prior military too makes me even more proud because I'm like, I make fun of him because he never been, you know, this is his first maintenance squadron. So I make fun of him. I'm like, hey, finally you're doing, you know, welcome to my hood, you know? Because he's always been like, he's a calm guy, right? And then he's a UTM. So now he's kind of.
And now he's going to be our unit training manager for the entire base, but he's going to be housed with 2,400 maintainers. Have fun. It's going to be good. He's going to be awesome.
He's not going to be a first sergeant.
I know.
He can drink every weekend now.
What about you, Sarah? Was something that maybe Jeff, something you stands out to you?
Just his dedication. He works these hours and doesn't complain. And like I said, it doesn't stop. He's in the office or on the flight line or his phone is going off. And he loves what he does. So he keeps doing it and dedicated.
Living this maintenance life is absolutely brutal at times. It's tough knowing that you have your spouse in your corner, knowing no matter how hard the day is, you come home. And some days can just be like, I don't know. I don't know if I can go on. I don't know if doubts and hardships and everything else in between. So thank you. Thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for coming in and entertain me for a little bit. But I appreciate you. I appreciate the journey that you've been on, raising amazing children, being friends, you know, and that's how I will say that. I value you not just as spouses, but more so as friends. So thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for the invite.
Thank you.
The podcast is not endorsed or sponsored by the Department of Defense or the United States Air Force. Though we may use name, ranks, and duty titles, this podcast is strictly opinion-based by the member and myself. Cleared off headsets. Los AF Jefe out. Yeah.